From Sacramento, the Bishop's Radio Hour with Bob Dunning on Relevant Radio, focusing on today's issues in the context of gospel values. Now, here's Bob.
That's me. Welcome to you on this beautiful day the Lord has made. Appreciate you all being with us on the Bishop's Hour as we move on through the month of May and get ever closer to the birthday of the Catholic Church, Pentecost Sunday. But big doings happening this Sunday as well, and we're pleased to welcome in Pat Ryan Garcia, Director of Operations for the Catholic Communications Campaign for the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, joins us by phone from Washington, D.C. Pat, good day to you.
Good day to you, Bob. Thanks for having me on.
Appreciate you taking the time. Tell us just a little bit about the USCCB and the headquarters for those who might not know.
Well, the Bishops' Conference, of course, is made up of all of the bishops who are diocesan bishops, auxiliary bishops, even retired bishops. And here in Washington, we have a headquarters where they come together for meetings of all the various committees and subcommittees. And then twice a year, they meet in what they call general assemblies, in June and November. And the Catholic Communication Campaign is a part of the Office of Communications here.
Oh, very good. How many dioceses do we have in the United States?
Roughly about 185, give or take two or three. That includes also our friends in the Eastern Rite churches, who also are represented here at the Bishops' Conference.
And the Diocese for Military Service, which is the largest diocese in
yes,
the world.
Of course, they are also a part of the conference, and people may not know that there are suffragan dioceses such as the Virgin Islands. It's actually a suffragan, as they call it, of the Archdiocese of Washington. So,
interesting.
Those folks in St. Thomas are also part of our conference.
Oh my goodness! Wow, that's it's amazing.
Yes.
So, and if you counted all the living bishops in the United States, how many would that number be?
I think we're somewhere around 350 to 400, because there are, bishops are living longer, so even after the mandatory retirement age of 75, some remain very active in the conference, and they can come to the assemblies, although they don't have a vote, they can contribute to the conversations.
Yeah, we have two bishop emeriti, or retired bishops here in the Diocese of Sacramento, Bishop Wiegand and Bishop Quinn.
Exactly. So, and I'm usually about 300 bishops come to the big general assembly in November, a little fewer in June. So we always have a good representation. And I must add that your bishop in Sacramento, your current bishop, Bishop Soto, is on the subcommittee for the Catholic Communication Campaign.
Oh, very good.
Yeah.
Very good. Yeah. And he just lost his auxiliary, Bishop Cotta, went to the Diocese of Stockton.
Well, at least he's still in the neighborhood, right?
He's still in the neighborhood. We can still reach out and touch him. It's been an interesting time. And the General Assembly is always in Baltimore?
We have a long-term contract for the November Assembly for Baltimore, based on trying to find some airports that are reasonable to fly into expense-wise and hotels that are, a little less expensive than Washington.
And then the other one moves around.
That's correct. The Spring General Assembly will be in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, next month. And every third year, that is more of a retreat for the bishops. I think next year is our next retreat year, and they usually pick a nice, scenic place for that.
I think there's some misunderstanding about the role of the USCCB when they get together and they pass resolutions and statements and things like that. It's not a governing body as such. Is that correct?
No, I would say it's more like, an association, a national association, like, say, the American Medical Association, because every bishop is the principal teacher, and he passes on the faith in his diocese in the best way that he finds, what he believes. So they're not binding. Nothing is binding. It's just that, when the majority of bishops get together and say they want to make a statement or they want to create the charter for protection of children and young people, for the most part, all the bishops are on board with that.
Sure. Yeah, it's, I've always been so impressed with the USCCB in terms of our bishops are willing to take a stand on virtually every issue of the day, you know, and some people will say, well, you shouldn't get faith out there in the public square or mix faith with politics. They're not trying to mix faith with politics. They're just trying to make statements about current issues, whether it's immigration or economic justice or health care or a million other things.
Yes, that's right. You could say that there's no political party, at least in this country, whose platform has, you know, will completely match that of the U.S. bishops, because we might be going in one direction on an issue such as health care, and then maybe in a totally different direction on, you know, religious liberty. So, you could just look at our Facebook page if you want to see how people react to various things. It's
I remember once back when I was on secular radio and just doing a nightly talk show, and it wasn't a religious station at all, but I happened to be talking about the death penalty and my personal opposition to the death penalty, and the phones rang off the hook with people saying, well, if you're against the death penalty, how come you're in favor of abortion? And I said, who told you I'm in favor of abortion?
Right.
Well,
because you're
a liberal. And I said...
Yes, that's the problem with being a Catholic who embraces the whole of church teaching. It's you're going to get labeled one way or the other, depending on what you're talking about. But, you know, we can do that. We can accept that with a sense of humor and try to use it as an evangelizing moment to explain that we're basically doing what Jesus asked us to do. So.
Yeah, and odd bedfellows, as they say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, indeed. And, of course, I'm sure you followed closely the... even though you didn't really have a stake in it, the issues with the Catholic chaplain in the House of Representatives.
Well, they say a lot of what happens here inside the Beltway is not of interest to the country at large, and I don't know that study.
I think it's very much of interest.
That story was sort of didn't get a lot of coverage immediately, and I don't know. I took a break from the national news. Programs yesterday, but I'm not sure if it came into the conversation, but it was really interesting because I think, you know, we've got there's quite a few Catholics in Congress, including the current speaker and the speaker immediately preceding him, and I think we've now had Catholic chaplains of the House for two consecutive
Congresses. We've had two in a row, and those, were, as I understand it, were the first two ever.
Yes, which is hard to believe since I think there may be more Catholics, I'm not sure, but there's quite a few Catholics in Congress.
Well, certainly more than, not a majority, but certainly more than any other denomination.
I think that
would be correct. Actually, we had three straight Catholics. So we had Pelosi and then Boehner and now Ryan.
Yes, and see, once again, that most people would say, how can all those different people be Catholics?
Yeah.
Well, they are.
And as I understand it, and I could be wrong, I think Joe Biden was only either the first or second Catholic vice president.
Right, and we've only had one Catholic president. So we'll see. You know, there's maybe as more of them rise through the ranks of Congress, they'll become national leaders as well.
Yes, and they are split almost evenly between the two major parties.
Exactly. So as we say, Catholics come in all shapes, sizes, colors, and, you know, parties. So.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Well, it keeps you folks on your toes, but, you know, you're not politicians. Although I know some of the leaders of the USCCB were certainly very involved in all the negotiations when Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, whatever you wish to call it, was being considered. I know they were meeting up, burning the midnight oil, trying to let everybody know what our position was on all these issues.
Well, the main concern there was the contraceptive mandate.
Right, absolutely.
And, you know, the Little Sisters of the Poor went to court, to the Supreme Court, and won, because there is... Do Catholic organizations have to provide birth control and other so-called reproductive services to their employees? Yeah. And
if I were an attorney allowed to argue before the U.S. Supreme Court, I would not want to go up against the Little Sisters of the Poor.
No, they were a wonderful representative for that issue. And as it turns out, well, it's still not settled, as you know. We still have some version of the Affordable Care Act, although there are accommodations for Catholic organizations that don't wish to provide that coverage.
When I was in college, I happened to be on the tennis team, and our coach would always tell us before we went out for our, you know, to play somebody, he says, "Hey, guys, we're not playing the Little Sisters of the Poor today."
Well, the Little Sisters have, you know, actually, they're pretty feisty.
Yes.
Anyway, so the Catholic Communication Campaign is what's coming up this weekend.
Yes.
World Communications Day. So it's always the Sunday between Ascension Thursday and Pentecost.
Uh-huh.
And it's been around really almost since Vatican II. And the collection that we take up every year is the only one of the national collections here that is, can be split evenly between the diocese and the national church.
Oh, very interesting.
So 50%, like, as I said, Sacramento Diocese, Catholics in Sacramento were generous to the tune of $120,000 roughly last year because we got half of that.
Wow.
And that just shows you, hopefully that fund helps your radio program and some of the other communications initiatives of the diocese.
Yeah, well, there are so many things under the sort of the communications umbrella, and it's all very, very helpful. Of course, there will be a so-called second collection, I presume, on Saturday Vigil Masses and all the Sunday Masses.
Yes, even though we have a national date for the collection, in many areas they, you know, take it up at a different time. We actually have collections that start in January, depending on what diocese. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, all the way through the summer. In some cases, the CCC collection gets combined with one of the other national collections because we all know the basket always gets passed twice, but there's more and more demands on the parishioners' donations.
So tell us a little bit about yourself. What was your background? Is it in journalism?
It was in broadcasting.
Uh-huh.
I've worked for the Bishops' Conference here for more than two decades. Before that, I worked in commercial radio and television in the promotion area.
Mm-hmm.
So that provided me with a very good background because some of the things I've done here before I was working on the collection, I did some production of radio programs that we used to distribute nationally from here, and also some public service campaigns, including a big initiative around marriage, mm-hmm, called For Your Marriage, which continues to this day as a website. We actually, CCC gave it a grant to upgrade its platform to a mobile-friendly environment. So now you can look at the For Your Marriage site no matter what kind of device you're using.
So how does, talk about the communications department, if you will, in general. What's your mission and how do you go about, you know, fulfilling that mission?
Well, the goal of the department is to really spread the gospel and advance the mission goals of the Bishops' Conference. So we have a public affairs department, which has been very active in the last year. I think 2017 they put out more statements than they had in any year previous.
Wow.
And it's really just a staff of three people. But, you know, they're out there every day, and they're tracking how our statements and other things that the bishops put out get covered in the media.
Mm-hmm.
And we're finding that the bishop's voice has become very important, especially in the debates over immigration and migrants and refugees' rights. So we're getting out there. We also have the Catholic News Service, which is the largest religious news service in the world.
I check it every day.
With a bureau in Rome that produces amazing images and videos. So, and they serve dioceses, Catholic newspapers, magazines, websites, etc. Then we have Marketing and Episcopal Resources, which produces a lot of publications. They are the official publisher of the Vatican in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
So any of those papal statements that come out, like the one he just put out, are produced for distribution in the United States by us. And then we have the Creative Services Department, which produces videos, social media efforts, and is constantly trying to get the bishop's message out there in a visual way.
The Catholic News Service, like you say, I check it every day and frequently refer the listeners to something that I read. And the thing I really like about it as a journalist is that it doesn't pull any punches.
Well,
I mean, sometimes, quote-unquote, house organs tend to be very slanted. And Catholic News Service isn't slant. I mean, it's obviously Catholic, and it obviously represents the bishops, but it reports the news.
It's an independent agency. It's mm-hmm. not meant to be a house organ. The bishops thought it was important to have, a news service that follows all journalistic ethics.
Yeah.
And does not biased in any way, but reports all sides of every story from a Catholic perspective.
Yeah, it's very obvious and very refreshing for that reason. You know that.
Well, thank you.
Sometimes things get so slanted that they're not worth reading. And I've just always been so impressed with Catholic News Service.
Yes, and in the age of the blogs and the, anybody can create a website,
right,
and call themselves Catholic, but you have to be very careful on to determine the source of these
right.
some of these opinions.
Yeah, that's yeah, absolutely. You Google the word Catholic, and oh my goodness, a million things are going to come up, and many of them will have Catholic in the title, and you go, well, this guy, is he speaking for the church, or you have to be very, very, very careful. And
hey,
the other thing about Catholic News Service is it is just like a daily newspaper. It's completely up to date.
Exactly.
You're not reading old stuff.
We have a big team here in Washington, and then, of course, a team of about six journalists and support staff in Rome.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's interesting when we talk about all these outlets that call themselves Catholic, that the Pope's Pope Francis's theme for World Communications Day this year is the truth will set you free.
Mm.
And he really, in his statement, which anyone who can go to the Vatican website can read, it's all about, combating fake news and unreliable sources and, trying to promote journalistic integrity.
Indeed. So is this weekend is officially World Communications Day as well?
Yes, it's officially on Sunday, May 13th.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said, that is also the national collection date for the Catholic Communication
right.
Campaign. I am not sure if that is the date in the Diocese of Sacramento, but there's a lot of dioceses in California. As a matter of fact, we have several bishops from California serving on the subcommittee,
mm-hmm.
which, in addition to Bishop Soto.
In addition to Bishop Soto.
Yeah, Bishop Rich Garcia from Monterey.
Right.
Auxiliary Bishop Bill Justice from San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's everybody, but there may be another one.
Well, those are good people.
Yes, they are.
Very good people.
California is well represented.
Oh, good to hear it. Good to hear it. You know, I was doing a piece on demographics of California the other day, and it's just unbelievable. We're like something like 12% of the U.S. population, and the fifth largest economy in the world now.
Exactly. California has a huge impact on the rest of the country, and that's why we thank all these California Catholics who support the church communications efforts so well.
Very, very good. Well, it's an honor to have you on. I hope our paths cross again soon.
Oh, and, yes. I had heard your name before. Either I caught you on a relevant radio station maybe on another Catholic outlet. There's
yep.
so much Catholic radio in the
there
country.
There is. I did a show for 5 years for Sirius satellite radio.
Yep, that's where I caught it.
The Catholic Channel, yeah.
Because that's when I had the free service in my new car.
isn't that the case? It seems like I've had more people say, well, I used to listen to you when I got a new car.
Yeah, I haven't been able to justify the expense. I have a short commute every day, so it's not like I spend a lot of time in my car. So.
Yeah, and Cardinal Dolan has a regular, I think a weekly show on that channel.
Yes, he does.
Yeah.
There used to be some programs from the conference that were also on there, but
yes.
You can hear everything online now. That's what's great about the internet. We can get a podcast. I can go back and listen to this podcast of you today probably soon.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, it's been good to talk with you, Bob.
You too, Pat. Thanks so much. And you can count on Sacramento to be generous again.
I hope so. Happy World Communications Day to everyone there.
Hey, thanks so much.
Sure. Bye-bye.
That's Pat Ryan Garcia, who is the Director of Operations for the Catholic Communication Campaign for the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops. We'll take a break. We'll be back with more on the Bishop's Hour right after this. The Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the good folks at the Catholic Store located at 1928 Broadway in downtown Sacramento. It has articles for baptism, first communion, confirmation, ordinations, weddings, and much, much more, plus Bibles, books, holy cards, and a variety of gifts. Give them a call, 916-457-1970, or visit them at 1928 Broadway right here in Sacramento. We're also brought to you by a generous grant from the Knights of Columbus Todd Cabral Agency, which provides guaranteed wealth creation for your family and your passion while maintaining the highest ethical standards in the industry. The Knights of Columbus Insurance, keeping Father McGivney's promise alive by providing peace of mind to Catholic families since 1882. To find an agent in your area, call our good friend Todd Cabral. Todd is at 916-997-9999. Bishop Sauer is also pleased to have underwriting support from Catherine Fisher, LCSW, providing therapy and mental health services from a Catholic perspective. Catherine knows that our Catholic faith is interwoven into every aspect of our lives and relationships. She offers counseling for individuals, couples, and families. You can call her at 916-214-4623 or go to C. Fisher, LCSW, at CATHIMail.com.
This is Julie Sly, editor of Atlet Herald Magazine, and you're listening to The Bishop's Hour with Bob Dunning.
Thanks, Julie. Thanks for all you do. And we'll be talking with Julie a little bit later in the week about the latest edition of the Catholic Herald Magazine. The Sacramento Classic basketball game. Yeah, right in the middle of the NBA playoffs. You take a night off and watch our diocesan priests play the diocesan seminarians in the fourth annual basketball game. Comes up near the end of the month, Wednesday, May the 30th. The game will start at 7 o'clock. The doors open at 6:30. It'll all take place again for the fourth year in a row at the beautiful facility at Christian Brothers High School, their high school gym there. That's at 4315 Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Sacramento. You can get your tickets by going to SCD, that's Sacramento Catholic Diocese, scd.org/basketball, or you can call the Office of Vocations at 916-733-0258 or email Maricela Smith at msmith@scd.org. Tickets are $15 for adults, but a group of six is just $60, so that's $10 a person. Students anywhere from kindergarten through college are just $5. It's a wonderful, wonderful game. A lot of fun, a lot of competition, a lot of good basketball, believe it or not. And the seminarians won the very first game. And then the last two have been won by the priests. So we'll see if the priests take a 3-1 lead or if the seminarians come back and knot the series at 2-2. So that will all take place again Wednesday, May 30th. It's at 7 o'clock at the Christian Brothers High School gym on Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. Go to scd.org/basketball. Well, we go now to the headquarters of the Sacramento Food Bank and Family Services, and we're joined by Kelly Siefkin. Kelly, good morning.
Good morning, Bob. How are you?
We're just fine. You survived the big day of giving?
We did. We're so incredibly proud to be part of such an incredible movement in our community. We're really, really thankful for so many supporters to come out on the big day and make a contribution.
I was reading some of the post-game comments and tallying and stuff, and it was 580-something charities benefited, and I think 39,000 people, something like that, contributed.
Isn't that incredible?
Yeah.
That in one day, over $7.6 million was given in our region to help local nonprofit organizations. I'm so incredibly moved.
Just mind-boggling.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is great. Well, you're going to stamp out hunger, as I understand.
That's right. In addition to big giving, there's another way that our listeners can get involved, and that's coming up on Saturday, May 12th.
Mm-hmm.
Stamp Out Hunger is celebrating 26 years of the National Association of Letter Carriers putting on the largest single-day food drive in the country. And this is really, really incredible. Over 10,000 cities and towns are actually participating in the single day. And what will happen is this week, your letter carrier is going to deliver a brown paper bag to residents in Sacramento County. I invite folks to fill up the bag with non-perishable food items and then leave it by their mailbox on Saturday before their mail comes. And their letter carrier will not only deliver their mail, but then carry all of those food items back to their post office, where Sacramento Food Bank and Family Services staff and volunteers will unload and fill semi-tractor trailers full of food for one day. Our goal is 250,000 pounds of food.
Wow. Somebody's going to need to buy a back brace.
I know. It's going to be an incredible day. Well, we're so thankful for our letter carriers who are volunteering to do this and put on this extra kind of effort, because they believe so deeply in fighting hunger in our community. And it's exciting because it's going on all across the country. So this is the easiest food drive any listener will ever participate
absolutely.
In. We're delivering the bag to your house. Pull out some things from the pantry, put it in the bag, and then leave it by your mailbox. And your letter carrier actually does all of the hard lifting.
Yeah, it's absolutely mind-boggling to me. You know, you say, oh, well, that sounds easy. They're just going to have to deliver a paper bag. And you go, yeah, and then collect a bag of groceries or canned goods, things like that, off of each. The labor involved is absolutely incredible.
It is mind-blowing once you start to think about it. Those 250,000 pounds of food are going to be personally hand-lifted and carried. And there are various strategies that the letter carriers use. For example, if they park their truck and walk door-to-door, you might see the letter carriers taking this bag of food from your porch, if that's where your mailbox is, for example, and then putting it at the end of the driveway, and then at the end of the route, stopping and grabbing and putting each one in the truck. There are kind of some different strategies that go on to make the day as helpful as possible, because it is this incredible work. And what's great about this drive is every single donation that you make is staying here in Sacramento County. So if you live in Itomas, your food stays local. If you're, you know, living in Citrus Heights, your food stays local. It's great. It's not shipping out to another area. It's all staying in the community.
Kelly, is there any do's or don'ts in terms of what you put in the bag?
What a great question. Yes, and that's really, really helpful for folks. My main thing to remind people is that someone has to carry this.
Yeah.
So please don't put any glass items in there.
Yeah.
A lot of people are very generous and want to give tomato sauce or salsa, for example, which we know families love. But unfortunately, it's going to go in the back of a pickup truck, and then it's going to go in the back of a semi-truck. So anything that can survive the trip is the most needed. We love things that are like canned fruits, canned vegetables, canned proteins like beans or tuna, boxes of pasta or, you know, ready-to-go meals, things like that. And I really like to put it in the perspective of, what would your family like to eat? And really, that's what I'd like to think about it. Try not to use this as an opportunity to clean out your pantry of things that are well past their expiration date or your kids no longer enjoy. Think about things that your family would like. So if you're going to put together some fruit, have your kids pick out a couple of their favorite cans of fruit and put that in a bag and share with a family that's very much like them but really having a hard time.
Yeah, we have stuff in our pantry that the label has fallen off of, and we don't know if it's tuna fish or fruit cocktail.
So you probably should move that along.
Yeah.
We don't want to give that
you
to a family
want
either.
That. Yeah.
Exactly. And we want people to really do well with the food that they're receiving. So think about things that your family likes. Do you, you know, love pinto beans? Put a couple of cans of pinto beans in there.
Mm-hmm.
Does your family love mac and cheese? Put some of that in there as well. Think about things that other families would do. So please, if you would, avoid glass on this day, as well as homemade treats. That is so incredibly generous and wonderful, but anything that doesn't have a nutrition label on it, we can't distribute. So I really love it when, you know, families are super giving and, you know, they made pickles and they want to share, but it can't be through this particular drive, and I just wanted to share that.
So so basically, you know, boxed, well-packaged, like is cereal okay?
Oh, cereal's wonderful. Cereal is one of those things that our families love receiving but often doesn't get donated. So Yeah. Another good tip is remember that it needs to be in its original packaging and sealed. So, you know, if you had half the cereal and you were like, oh, I'll give the rest of this, we're going to have to dispose of it. So,
just like you would buy it from the store.
Exactly.
Or see it in the store.
Just like you'd see it in the store, exactly. And use this opportunity this week to do a little bit of a teachable moment with your kids. If you're going to run to the store and get groceries, have them each pick out one item, and they'd like to donate and share that with the family when they do stay up at hunger on Saturday.
Oh, that's a great idea. Absolutely great idea. It's not only do you get some helpful hands, but you get it's a great teaching moment for your kids about. I know when we've done that with our kids, it's like their eyes light up. And it's like, wow, okay, I'll bet they'd like this.
Exactly, and that's what we're trying to do is bring awareness to families that our neighbors, 1 in 5 Sacramento residents, is food insecure. So likely the person who's living down your street, maybe they don't look much different, but their finances are so incredibly tight. They're either out of work right now or they're dealing with a medical condition or times are tough for a variety of reasons, and they're not really able to put food on the table. So they can come to our organization and get food at no cost that really can help them out. So think about, we're going to serve them with dignity and respect. If listeners want to help by providing food to make that possible, we'd love to work with them.
Kelly, you mentioned that term food insecure, and we hear that more and more. What specifically does that mean when you classify a certain number as food insecure?
In Sacramento County, there are 240,000 food insecure individuals. That means 240,000 men, women, and children don't quite know where their next healthy meal is coming from. So what they're doing is relying upon either places like walking to a corner market and buying processed food because maybe they live in a food desert, or they're going without. And so our goal is to provide food for families so they are less food insecure, because if you are having healthy, nutritious meals as part of your day, you are able to focus in school. You are able to maintain your temper when working with children. You're able to really be much more productive at work. There are a lot of studies that show that if you are eating on a more regular basis and getting nutritious food, you can really contribute a lot more. And for families that are having a hard time, I mean, think about how you get when you get hangry.
Yeah.
If you're going without, you can be much more reactionary. So our goal is really to address that. We're currently providing goods and services to about 140,000 men, women, and children every single month. So there's quite a big feeding gap. We're doing our very best to reach those additional 100,000 families, or individuals, and we're doing that through incredible partnerships. So not only are we doing distributions through Produce for All to get fresh produce to families, but we're partnering with about 220 partner agencies, and these are church pantries, these are schools, these are locations where they have access to a lot of families, and we're providing the food to them, and then they're distributing it.
You know, the studies are absolutely compelling with kids, school kids, with, you know, whether it's breakfast, lunch, or breakfast and lunch, in terms of how they perform, how they behave. It's overwhelming. A kid who shows up at school hungry is just not going to be a happy kid.
And I'm sad to hear that that's the case, but it's true. And so we're doing our very best to combat that. And we're really lucky because so many school children take advantage of either subsidized lunches or breakfasts. But think about summertime. We're approaching a time where school is out, and so there's not going to be a bell ringing that's going to provide that individual with some nutrition during the day. So these types of donations are really, really helpful because those family members can come and get food for their kids when they're out of school.
Yeah. So explain, I know you explained it before, but for everybody who hasn't heard you be on the show before, your mission has gotten much bigger.
It has. It has. It turns out that food is sort of one of the pieces that families are dealing with when they're trying to overcome a lot of challenges. So Sacramento Food Bank and Family Services, which has been around since 1976, understood that it's very kind of complicated situation when a lot of families are in poverty. So food is definitely a critical first step, and without food, you really are challenged for all the reasons that we spoke of. But a lot of times, a family who's looking to improve their situation needs additional types of help. We offer things like clothing and specifically job smart clothing. Anyone who's going to go for a job interview or starting new work is welcome to come get free business attire for their interview and their start of their new career. We teach English as a second language in adult education. We also have technology classes, so anyone who wants to come and build a resume or practice their interview skills, they're welcome to come and use our open lab or take classes, as well as we prepare folks to take their GED and HiSET. More and more places are requiring those kind of basic education starter level pieces to even apply for employment. We also offer parenting classes through parent education, so new moms and dads and grandparents, older siblings, anyone raising kids is welcome to come and take a variety of free classes, and then they earn these great baby bucks where they can shop at our boutique and get formula and diapers and really important tools like strollers, etc. And then we also have immigration legal services, refugee resettlement services. We have youth education, a whole variety of services. And these wraparound services are really the critical piece that move a lot of families out of poverty and move them towards self-sufficiency and independence.
Are there people, and there must be, that fall through the cracks, and how can you better reach them?
You know, that happens all of the time. It's quite interesting. The number of individuals who find us from word of mouth is probably our biggest advertiser. It turns out if you need food, you might know somebody else that needs food. Or if you would like to learn English, you may know somebody else that needs to learn English. So it's kind of walking with folks hand in hand. We're on a journey. We're trying not to do a hand out as much as a hand up. And so a lot of our programs and services require an investment on the family, you know, to improve their own skill level. Not everybody's at that level. So we're kind of trying to target those families that are ready to improve their situation and then help them along the way. English is an incredibly hard language to master, for example. That takes a daily commitment for a year or more to learn this language. So our goal is to really help more people do that, because then if you are fluent in English, you have a greater chance of employment. You have a greater chance of helping your children with their homework, etc.
Yeah, English is a hard language to master for those of us who grew up speaking English.
It's a tricky one with all those different rules. And
oh, man, the difference between lay and lie and affect and effect and, oh, man.
Well, if any of our listeners know of an individual who would like to benefit, all of our programs and services are available at no cost, and they can visit sacramentofoodbank.org to learn more.
Do you need volunteers, Kelly?
Absolutely. The backbone of our organization rests on volunteers. We have just under 10,000 volunteers that serve with our organization annually, and that might sound like more than we can use, but that is not true. The minimum age to volunteer is 10, so we get a lot of folks, coming in to volunteer with their family, which is a great opportunity. We have a ton of corporations come in. Maybe they'll do kind of like a staff bonding opportunity, so they can bring in their folk, you know, their teammates and volunteer together. We have a retirees, and you can choose a variety of activities. So maybe you have a very stressful job, and so you would like something where you check out and hang clothing. That's a great activity.
Yeah.
Or bag apples. That's a really nice one. Or maybe you want to do something in a different kind of level. So maybe you would like to tutor a child, or maybe you would like to instruct for English as a second language. There's a whole variety of opportunities. We offer a volunteer orientation once a week, and it's at either of our campuses. And that's nice because we have one in Oak Park as well as one in North Sacramento, so we can likely be close to where you live or work. And then after you attend orientation, you can sign up for a variety of opportunities to volunteer. Some require a little bit more in-depth training, and some you can start the very next day. So we have a whole kind of gamut, and it's an interesting time of the year. A lot of kids have that community service hours that they got to get, you know, done before the end of the school year. So we'd love to get them through an orientation and then send them to a Produce for All. But our main hope is that when folks walk through the door orientation, they're beginning to learn about the programs and services, that they'll become, A, a long-time volunteer at the organization, B, refer a family in need so they can know more about the programs and services, and C, hopefully become a supporter down the line, whether that's through in-kind donations, whether that's making a financial gift, you know, whether that's pooling resources at their church or at their work to make a financial contribution, hosting a donation drive. There's so many ways to get involved.
You don't want me bagging apples, because I see a good apple and I lose my head.
Well, I want that because I want that enthusiasm. It's quite interesting. We have a service called Produce for All, and we take out this really cool retrofitted beverage truck out to 15 different locations in the community.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're doing is we're getting folks probably 5 to 7 types of fresh fruits and vegetables. And they're in and out in a matter of moments. It's really fantastic. We're finding out how many people are in their household, and they're just moving along quickly. We're doing this in community center parking lots, in church parking lots, in health clinic parking lots, where people already feel safe coming. But the interesting part is a lot of people are unfamiliar with fresh, locally grown seasonal produce.
Yeah.
And if they are nervous about it or are unfamiliar with it, they won't take it. So getting volunteers like you who are super excited makes it a lot easier, because you'll want to say, for families, for example, asparagus is really beautiful right now, and we're receiving a large number of donations of that. If a family hasn't ever cooked it or tried it, they might be scared of it.
Sure.
So we'll put a volunteer who's distributing it in front of the table saying, just try it. Here's my favorite recipe. It's really easy. You can freeze it if you have to, whatever the case is, because we're trying to get folks excited about those items, not only because they're healthy and they'll be great for their family, but there's so many benefits to them. In Sacramento County, anybody who is on CalFresh, which are food stamps here in California, you can use your CalFresh benefits at any of the participating farmers markets and get a 2-for-1 match. So if we've got someone excited about buying locally grown seasonal produce, that means they can take their EBT card and shop at a farmers market and get twice as much produce for their family.
Oh, wow. Boy, that's great. So what could a 10-year-old do?
There are so many things that a 10-year-old can do. The 10-year-old could come and distribute at a Produce for All. If they're just as excited about apples as you are, we'd love to have mm-hmm. them distributing those. We'd love to have them bagging items in our warehouse as well. You know, it's really fun to go and sort these canned food donations. So obviously after Stamp Out Hunger on Saturday, May 12th, we're going to have an influx of canned food. We'd love volunteers to come in and sort those. They can hang clothing. Our clothing program gives out about 250,000 articles of clothing each year, and each of those are donated by members of the community. So 10-year-olds can come in with their folks and help sort and organize and hang various clothing items on the floor. And then they can also be creative. I had the wonderful opportunity to work with a volunteer fourth grader just a few weeks ago who was doing a school project on food insecurity, and he made a gorgeous video about the impact that we're making. So there are all kinds of ways for youth to get involved and find out what they're passionate about. Sometimes they'll want to host a donation drive at their school
mm-hmm.
and then bring their class down for a tour. There's so many ways for young ones to really get involved with philanthropy.
Oh, that's just great. You almost never hear, it's usually 18 or 16 or something. You know, you never hear a 10-year-old could participate, fully participate in a program. That's just fabulous.
We're really, really lucky that we have one of the youngest age requirements in all of Sacramento County. But what is great is they get hooked, to get excited. They're bringing their parents back. They're opening the eyes of their fellow classmates. You know, they're going to scouts and then talking about it or whatever the case may be. And that's what we want to do, is expose kids to a really positive opportunity for volunteering, so that's part of their life going forward.
Very good. Kelly, the food drive is this Saturday. Will the bag come on Friday from the Postal Service?
They will be delivered this week. So I would keep an
sometime
eye out
during
Wednesday,
the week.
Thursday, Friday. It's a brown paper bag. It's got a list of great items to fill inside and some basic instructions. But when you get the bag in the mail, that should be a little cue that this is a little bit unusual piece of mail. It'd be a good reason to check your mail this week. And then fill it with items and just leave it by your letter on your mailbox. If you live in a neighborhood where they have the multi-unit of boxes with that are kind of gray in nature, you can put your food right on top.
Very good. I'm going to put my unopened bills back in there, too.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know that we can help you with that, but go for it.
Okay. Very good. What a wonderful program. We'll love to get you on and after the weigh-in.
Yes. I will report back. I'd be happy to do so.
Very good. Thanks, Kelly.
Thanks so much, Bob. Have a great day.
Yeah, you too. That's Kelly Siefkin from the Sacramento Food Bank and Family Services. And boy, what great work and what great programs they have going on throughout the city and county of Sacramento. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with more on the Bishop's Hour right after this. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the St. Vincent de Paul Society. You can drop by and shop at their thrift store, 2275 Watt Avenue. It's open Mondays through Saturdays from 10 to 8 and Sundays from 11 to 6. They also accept donations at the store, furniture, appliances, clothing, books, and everyday household items. You can give them a call, 916-972-1212. We'd also like to thank the kind and dedicated folks at Associated Sound for all their help in keeping all our equipment running with their excellent sound assistant and technical expertise. When it comes to sound, Associated Sound is the only name you need to know. Give them a call. They're at 916-649-8040 or go online at associatedsound.com. Well, located in Citrus Heights, Christ the King has served Northern California in the Diocese of Sacramento for over 60 years. Bishop Soto refers to Christ the King as the jewel of the diocese, a wonderful retreat center. They have parish weekend retreats, individual spiritual direction, and a variety of other programs. You can give them a call, 916-725-4720. That's 916-725-4720. Or visit them at 6520 Van Maren Lane in Citrus Heights.
Hello, this is Mark Ross from the Diocese of Sacramento Black Catholic Ministry. This is the Bishop's Hour with Bob Dunning.
Thanks, Mark. Thanks for all you do here in the Diocese of Sacramento with the Black Catholic Ministry. The final segment of the Joy of the Gospel Social Ministry Specialization series will take place this Saturday, May the 12th. The Social Ministry Specialization series will give a foundational understanding of Catholic social teaching, help you build a parish community where social ministry is integral, not optional, where it is the work of every believer, not just the mission of a few committed people and committees. Who is this series for? Respect Life and Social Justice ministers, catechists, Catholic school teachers, master catechists, lay ministry formation grads, and Catholics seeking to better understand their faith. Renewal certification credit is available. You can contact Laura Lynn Solano at 916-733-0153 or L. Solano, S-O-L-A-N-O, L. Solano at scd.org. It takes place this Saturday, May the 12th. There will be two presenters, Ned DeLessie from the California Catholic Conference and Steve Patton from the Diocese of Sacramento, the Gospel of Life and Faith in the Public Square, and they all take place at St. Anthony's Parish Hall at 660 Florin Road, right here in Sacramento. Well, we go now to Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts, and Denise joins us. Denise, good morning.
Hi, Bob. How are you?
It's been too long.
I know it has been. It's been a long time.
Yes. What is happening at Easter's?
Well, lots of new things. You know, our classes continue through the grace of God, and that's one of the things that makes what we do a little unique. We are truly fortunate to have so many wonderful teachers that are willing to continue the work of the University of Sacramento that closed, what, 4 years ago now, 5 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so classes every week and several classes every week generally. Although May is very busy for a lot of people, we've got First Communions and confirmations and graduations and weddings, so we try and be a little laid back in May, but we do have some exciting events coming up, and so I send out a newsletter every month and let people know that, and if anyone wants to be on that list, all you need to do is email us at easter'sfaith@gmail.com. So, but we do have a lot coming up.
Well, you can tell us about some of it.
Okay. Well, we have a class that we do with Professor Hamlin, and he is taking us through the classic works of philosophy. Joseph Pieper's, we just finished the Four Cardinal Virtues. We're working now on the Theological Virtues, Faith, Hope, and Love.
Mm-hmm.
And that class is an early morning class, 8 to 10 at on different Saturdays of the month. We do have one coming up this coming Saturday. So at 8 o'clock, it's Faith, Hope, and Love. And those are extremely incredible classes. We have some great discussion. And, you know, that's, for most people, it's the discussion that really helps to stick in the brain. So that's a favorite of ours. And then Anna Ramirez-Palmer does the Great Adventure Bible Study, and she's working on the Acts of the Apostles right now with a nice group of people. And, you know, these classes have started, but people come in all the time at different times during classes, so they're open. And we don't require any donation at all. Of course, we are funded by donations, and our major sponsor is the bookstore. So any donations are most greatly appreciated. So that's always an issue for us, as it is for most people. Mm-hmm. And then we have Father Pepka, who does a theology class, and he is currently working on the first apology of St. Justin Martyr.
Mm-hmm.
And Father Pepka is one of our favorite presenters. He has a PhD in historical theology, so he's an amazing presenter. And he actually teaches all over the diocese, so we're privileged to have him on the third Saturday of every month. And that's from 10 to noon.
Very good.
So, and we also have something new this month. We're going to start trying to do a discussion on some of the classic movies and maybe some newer movies, too. We're looking at a movie. I don't know. Have you ever seen the movie Billy Budd?
No.
Never. Okay. Well, this one was brought to our forefront by Professor Hamlin, and he explains this as the classic response of evil to innocence. It's a wonderful movie from the 50s about a sailor who is just, well, Herman Melville wrote the book in the early 1900s, mm-hmm. and he is described, the main character is described as the image of Adam before sin. So he is quite an innocent sailor, and it's just what happens when the quartermaster, Robert Ryan, is just perplexed by this innocent sailor and the evil that comes from that man who is evil, probably not unlike many people that we know, but what happens with that. And it's a pretty exciting movie, and it really raises a lot of questions with regards to innocence and evil and justice. Mm-hmm. So it works into our Cardinal Virtues class. So we thought we'd go ahead and show that on the night of the 24th. And I only have space for about 20, so I do need reservations for that. So if you would like to come and attend the discussion and the movie, please give us a call at the store at 916-338-7272, or you can always email us at eastersfaith@gmail.com. So those are some of the classes we have coming up.
Very good. Well, it's always great to talk with you, and we'll look forward to having great turnouts for all of that. It's valuable stuff.
It is valuable. You know, we're called to continue our journey, and it makes it so rich when you can share that with others. There's such a dimension to that is important to keeping us grounded in our faith.
Very good. Denise, thanks so much for all you do, and thanks for joining us today.
God bless you. Have a good day, Bob.
God bless you too, Denise. Appreciate
it. Take care.
That's Denise out at Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts, and a longtime supporter of the Bishop's Radio Hour as well. Well, let us pray. An introduction to liturgy and worship based on Scripture, the Catechism, Vatican II, and other documents. A six-part class covers the basic teachings of the Church on liturgy and worship. They've had the first four, but they don't build one on the other, and so you can still get in on the final two. One will be, it's every Tuesday, so tomorrow, May the 8th, and then the final one will be on May the 15th. Session 5 is Sacred Music, a Treasure of Inestimable Value. Session 6, which will be on May the 15th, Mass and Mission, Living a Sacramental Life in a Secular World. They all take place from 6:30 to 8 p.m. at St. Peter and Paul Church, 4450 Granite Drive in Rockland. The presenter is James Cavanaugh, the director of the Office of Worship and Prayer. And if you never heard him speak, he is just excellent, so good at explaining things. St. Peter and Paul Church, again, 4450 Granite Drive in Rockland, tomorrow, 6:30. And the following Tuesday, May the 15th at 6:30 until 8 p.m., you can call the church at 916-624-5827. That's 916-624-5827. Camp Pendola is taking reservations now for all their programs this summer up in the Sierra foothills. June 17th to the 23rd is co-ed. Fun in the Sun is the theme. June 24th to the 30th is girls only. Girls just want to have fun. July 8th to the 14th is co-ed Weird Science. July first-time camper mini-week program is also available then. July 15th to the 21st is also co-ed, and it's titled Games Galore. July 22 to 28 is co-ed Superheroes. And finally, July 29th. To August 4 is co-ed, and the theme is Survivor. Also, the family camp will take place over Labor Day weekend. You can sign up for that as well, and it's easy to sign up. You can call 916-733-0123, or you can go to pendola.org. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the Mercy Foundation, enriching lives in the Sacramento region through Sisters of Mercy Ministries in healthcare, education, housing, and care for the poor and elderly. For the Mercy Foundation, philanthropy is one of the most powerful expressions of compassion and love, and you can express your care and concern for the less fortunate with a gift to the Mercy Foundation by calling 916-851-2700. Fully 100% of your contribution will support the Sisters of Mercy ministry or ministries that you choose. And what a wonderful treasure Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts is for all of us. Not only does Easter's provide a wide array of Catholic books, both current releases and longtime classics, but they also sponsor a number of valuable workshops and lectures throughout the year. Give them a call. They're at 916-338-7272, or drop on and visit them, 6916-6916 Sunrise Boulevard in Citrus Heights. Well, if you have questions about retirement, Crumley & Associates can help with their confident retirement approach that can help define a clear roadmap to where you want to go. Details are available at Crumley & Associates. They're at 7956 California Avenue in Fair Oaks, or give them a call at 916-638-4600. We thank them for their longstanding support of the Bishop's Hour. Underwriting is also provided to the Bishop's Hour by Catholic Funeral and Cemetery Services, a ministry of the Diocese of Sacramento. As a church-owned nonprofit founded in faith, Catholic Funeral and Cemetery Services is dedicated to providing education, support, and resources during life's most difficult moments. They will make every effort to enable you to realize your final wishes while empowering families to make completely informed decisions. You can give them a call, 855-525-2285. We thank all the wonderful underwriters for the Bishop's Hour, and we hope you will support those who support us. Thanks for listening, everybody. God bless. We'll talk to you again soon.
This is Bishop William K. Wiegand, the Bishop Emeritus of Sacramento, and you're listening to the Bishop's Hour with Bob Denning.
Can I pour my heart out to a listening ear? But I see this life, its valleys and mountains, and I think of all the roads that brought me here. Oh, that brought me here. Walking down the road. Well, I've questioned my reasons, this life I'm living. I question my ability to judge wrong from right. Well, I questioned all the things I've ever called certain.
my race, my religion, my country, my mind. But the one thing I don't question